I'm Frank Vaughn. It is March 26th, 2026, a Thursday, as I continue getting my digital life in order. It's been a busy week, even though I haven't been producing many videos. They're making me go to Windows 11. I can't just stick with Windows 10. I have to go to Windows 11. And as a result, I've broken the operating system a couple times now, figuring out how to de-spyware and de-telemetry and get the advertising out of it. It's been a painful process, but I'm almost there. There are ways to make Windows 11 clean. But I want to talk to you about something far more important today. This is not going to be a very lengthy, I hope, or technical video, but something that I'm worried about happening this weekend, which is another step up the escalation rung. And I'm going to show you just a couple little pieces. This is by, in no way is this exhaustive. Trump set to skip CPAC for first time in decade in surprise break from tradition. He's also cleared a lot of his schedule off. He was set to do or speak at a charity event. He's canceled that. There's a bit of a reordering going on, and the troops that have been deployed to the Middle East will be operationally ready by Friday. And it also happens to be when his five-day ultimatum expires. Now, they're in the middle of a full-court press. Donald Trump, Steve Witkoff, trying to convince the markets more than anybody. They don't really care about the people at this point, but they do care about the markets. They're trying to convince the markets that everything's fine, that Iran is begging for a deal, even though Iran is on the record every single day saying they're not negotiating, they're not interested in a deal. The Israelis leaked the 15-point peace plan, which is essentially offering Iran capitulation for reintegration into the global market. And Iran responded with their own 5-point deal, which was on top of the conditions they've already set out, which I covered in previous videos. Like I said in those previous videos, the best deal that the United States and Israel were going to get was the deal that was proposed already, because now that deal is getting even more complicated. The Iranians want war reparations. One can make a solid argument that they're entitled to them. Whether you love Iran or not, doesn't matter. They were attacked under a flag of diplomacy. They want reparations. They want the United States out of the Middle East. They want their bases dismantled. They want security guarantees. Let's just say that the American position, which, as much as Trump is saying the Iranians are begging, it was actually the Americans who sent the 15 points to Iran through Pakistan. It's the Americans who are desperate for an end to hostilities, not the Iranians. And the Iranians have signaled they're not interested in getting out. Now, what else is going on? Iran's attacks force U.S. troops to work remotely. That's the headline from the New York Times. This should be really big news. 13 U.S. bases in the Middle East, they're empty. They have been bombed. They have been missiled. The troops are not there. They are working, as this headline says, remotely. Let's go to India Today for a more accurate headline. Iran strikes leave 13 U.S. bases uninhabitable, troops forced into remote war. Remember how we've been seeing Iranian drones and missile attacks on hotels, and there's been all of this outrage about the targeting of civilian infrastructure. Remember all the times that people have said that whenever Israel or the United States bombs a school, it's because those dastardly evil terrorists hide their children or use their children as human shields, and we have to kill those kids to get at the terrorists? Well, it turns out the United States is not shy about putting its troops in civilian structures as well, which invites strikes because we're at war here. So the bases have been abandoned. The troops that were on those bases are hidden in hotels, working remotely, as the New York Times calls it. America's bases in the Middle East are damaged to such a scale that they are abandoned. Now, you can believe Steve Witkoff when he tells you everything's fine. You can believe Donald Trump when he tells you everything's fine. You can believe Pete Hegseth when he invokes the name of the Heavenly Father to rain death down upon the Iranians. These people are not Christians. I don't know what they are. You can believe them, or you can believe actions. You can believe logistical evidence. You can believe what's happening in front of your face. Now, the markets just don't seem to be buying the Trump-Witkoff narrative. Over the last couple weeks, on Monday mornings, they make some big, bold announcement about escalation on a weekend, and then on Monday, they say everything's fine. They've now directly, with their words, interceded in the market to stop a meteoric rise in the oil price twice, and the markets are starting to figure out that the American administration is full of it. They're just full of it. Their words don't match reality. In spite of all the censorship, we're seeing a lot of actual Indian foreign workers in Israel are giving us a glimpse as to what's actually happening in Israel. They are withering under the damage from Iran. It's not just Tel Aviv. It's small communities everywhere. This war is not going as smoothly as they're gaslighting us to believe. And so I said I wanted to make some forward-looking statements, specific forward-looking statements. This is another thing. War hits global economy with OECD seeing U.S. inflation at 4.2%. Remember how Trump complained that the Fed wasn't cutting rates fast enough, that he wanted those money printers turned on? In the wake of this war, which is going bad, which is a disaster, really is, just logistically, from a planning perspective, from a strategic perspective, it is a disaster. As the Americans seem on the cusp of escalating with too few troops, if they actually send a handful of troops, several thousand, to try and take Karg Island or try to take Kashim Island, which has about 150,000 people living on it, it's going to be a bloodbath, and I worry that bloodbath is going to start this weekend. And by the way, I'm not going to share them here because I'm still not certain on their authenticity, but there's been images starting to leak, if they're real and genuine, it's hard to tell these days, of the Gerald Ford looking like it's been ripped apart, like it's been hit, rather than what they're telling us is it's in port, it's going to be in port for a year undergoing repairs, everybody's been sworn to secrecy, and we're supposed to believe it was caused by lint in the laundry facilities. Now, granted, they had some plumbing issues, so it looks like there was some basic oversight when it comes to the planning and design of the Ford, which is the flagship of the U.S. fleet. But it's out of commission, folks. And if these images prove to be true, and I think time will bear this out, because you can only hide these things for so long, and it was actually damaged by Iran, well, they're trying to get us to focus on the Abraham Lincoln carrier, maybe this is where we should be looking. I mean, it's out of commission from a laundry fire. I don't know how believable that is. But in this environment, rates are likely to rise, not fall. I'm really challenged at this point to try and convey that what I'm doing isn't carrying water for the Iranian regime. It's trying to communicate what is. This was bad. They went into this war without a real plan. And now it looks like they're going for a desperation play with too few troops and too little resources and too little manpower. Pretending, as it seems the Trump administration is. I read an article somewhere it's up here, where there's this allegation, this one, inside Trump's daily video montage briefing on the Iran war. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that one of the greatest dangers to the Trump administration since the very beginning, before it was even an administration, one of the greatest threats was the fact that all you have to do is keep his focus and the focus of his loyalists on what you want them to be focused on. You only have to distract them 16, 18 hours a day, and you can kind of control how they see the world. Is it possible that the briefings that he's getting, because he's got a busy schedule, there's other things on his mind besides the war, that he's getting a curated, doctored, Nerf ball version of what's actually going on, that he actually genuinely believes that the U.S. military has been super successful? I mean, you look at the propaganda coming out of Fox News and even CNN and the mainstream media channels, where they are just on loop constantly showing, with the majority of the screen showing this, actually, what's on screen right now. Trump gets Iran war briefings. But you see that video? They're constantly showing unclassified hits of trucks and targets in Iran, and it's on a loop constantly. If you're dialed in and you're tuned in, you're getting fed these explosions, these beautiful, pretty-looking explosions. Is that what Trump is getting? These explosions are not painting a picture of the actual state of the conflict. And once again, I mean, it needs to be said, the United States is not in the driver's seat at this point. Neither is Israel. It's not up to them when the war ends. It's up to Iran. They have walked into a mess, and I worry that this weekend is when the ground assault starts. As soon as market closes, Friday afternoon here in North America, maybe by Saturday morning, but either a big escalation in terms of bombing power. I mean, God forbid they start going to tactical nukes. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think the next step is they try to do something amphibious. And I really hope I'm wrong, but I think it'll be a total disaster. I think Iran is just sitting there waiting. They've been planning for this war for 20 years. Every step of the way so far, their capabilities have demonstrated that the United States has not read them right. They're still launching withering ballistic missile swarms, fighting virtually the entire region. You can moralize all you want about that, but the results speak for themselves. U.S. bases abandoned, troops fighting a war through remote work. The threat, the very real threat, that if the United States goes up the escalation chain and starts bombing the power facilities in the region, as Iran hit one of Israel's largest power-producing plants only recently. There's so many headlines to parse. They have demonstrated they have the technical capacity to make good on their threats, to annihilate energy infrastructure and disrupt global energy supplies for years to come. The Trump administration is constantly telling us that they don't need the Persian Gulf. They can do fine without it. But the world can't. And we share a planet. We share a battle space with these people. If the U.S.-Israel action on Iran screws everybody over equally, that equals a loss in face and prestige and power of the United States. And remember, we started this talking about the thin stockpile of U.S. advanced munitions, that they might have an inexhaustible supply of gravity bombs, but gravity bombs can't solve this problem. Every day that U.S. power thins itself, and if they do decide to do an amphibious invasion this weekend, which I fear they're going to do, I fear the land war starts this weekend, something they said at the very beginning, remember, this was supposed to be over in 24 or 48 hours, as they dedicate more resources, as they thin their stockpiles, because that's something else you got to remember. You go in, whether with helicopters or you think you can get in with boats. I don't think they can get into the Persian Gulf with boats. They got to pass by hundreds of miles of Iranian coastline, and all it takes is a couple militants with some RPGs or some drones, which they have aplenty, artillery. Those ships would be sitting ducks, so maybe you have to go in with helicopters. You have to try and do it aerial. So great, you land your troops and you fight for a day, but how do you make sure those troops are fed? That they have munitions sufficient to hold? You know, we talk about the strength of U.S., the U.S. military in terms of raw numbers. So you often hear 5,000 Marines or 10,000 Marines or 3,000 Marines, different numbers getting thrown around. But you have to divide that number or multiply it by 0.33. A person needs to sleep, so you have to have rotating shifts. And a lot of those troops are support troops. So your effective fighting force is much smaller than the total number. And you're going to try and control an absolutely mind-bogglingly large chunk of coastline with a handful of troops. It's bad. Now, I want to get back to my focus today. I need to get things done on my end so that I can just focus on doing this and doing it properly from here forward. Organizing your digital life is an enormous task when you've put it off for years and years and years. But I want to make one final message to a longtime viewer, Jed Engineer, if you're out there. You often cite the fact that I lack military experience. I haven't spent enough time in uniform. You're right. I haven't spent any time in uniform. I've only studied. But I'm not the only one saying these things. I've linked to you multiple times, as any of you who share this concern, that I don't have the experience to talk about these things. In reality, I don't have the experience to talk about politics, but you still tune in to listen to me. Why? Because I have a thinking mind, because I can read books and I can understand geopolitics. You don't need a degree or experience in military affairs directly to understand the logistical nightmare, to understand we're being gaslit. It's insulting to think that you do, but if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. Go listen to Daniel Davis or Larry Johnson or Douglas McGregor or 100 other voices out there with military experience that are trying to sound the alarm about the disaster that this war predictably, in advance, before it began, predictably, plebs like me, as you say, I'm just a pleb, I shouldn't even be talking about these things. If I could see this coming, if I could make forward-looking predictions about how much of a quagmire this would become and how bad it might get. Look, every single day, I watch the calendar every single day, I actually feel the hours go by, the farmer in me. The one thing I know, I guess, Jed, I guess I can speak about farming. I know that it's March 26th. I know that April's just around the corner. I know what planting season means. I know what happens if fertilizer supplies don't get where they need to go and crops don't get planted. I know what happens to the world as a result of that. And I know that at some point, even though the nations of the world are being very dishonest right now, only condemning Iran, not doing what they need to do, which is condemning the Israeli-American action that led to this crisis. At some point, when the damage is bad enough, the world will turn on those who started this conflict. And so what's the point of doing all this? The point is that hopefully someone, somewhere, I don't care who they listen to, picks up on the fact that this is a disaster that has no quick fixes. Trump once again this morning said he's interested in a quick end of the war. Doesn't matter what you're interested in, Donald. It only matters what the Iranians are interested in at this point. I don't know what it's going to take for people to figure out. They hold the cards. We need a quick end. The world needs a quick end. North America needs a quick end. But if I'm honest, I don't think there's one in sight. And I think in pursuing a quick end, trying to open the strait too quickly, trying to do it with too few troops, going to create an even bigger disaster that the administration is going to have an even more difficult time walking away from. Iran is in a position to make demands right now, and their position only gets stronger as time goes by. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.